It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 14 in the National Football League here on the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast that is brought to you by FanVice.com. Your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. FanVice has great tools, articles, even live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS and check out the site, FanVice.com. It is week number 14 in the NFL. There are no more teams on buys, and for a lot of you, it's playoff time. For some of you, it is the final week of the regular season in your season-long leagues, and some of you just listen for daily fantasy each and every week, which I totally get. You guys know we are all over daily fantasy. More on that a little bit later. So we got you covered. No more buys. We're going to hit the big thing you need to know about each team in each game. And a lot of times, Evan chimes in on the other things you need to know for those games and those teams as well, without necessarily talking about every single possible guy for fantasy football. You can always check out his column over at RotoWorld for every single guy. So, Evan, let's crush it today. Obviously, it's two parts again. It's always two parts here on the Fantasy Feast, at least during the season. And you guys, if you like making the games more interesting with fantasy football, you'll love making them more interesting at betdsi.com using the promo code Tucker15, because you get $15 free to bet the NFL or whatever else you want. College hoops, NBA, NHL, the bowl games for college football. That's always a fun thing to bet, the bowl games. Makes those standalone college games in December really interesting. Again, that promo code is Tucker15. And you get a free $15 when you use that at betdsi.com. All right, Evan, let's start with the Thursday night game. Got to be the best Thursday night matchup in a long time. The Raiders and the Chiefs. From a fantasy perspective, let's start with the Chiefs. Man, oh, man, it was fun to watch them on Sunday. I don't know if they're a great fantasy team unless you have Eric Berry in your fantasy lineup, or I guess the does a fake punt for a touchdown, Evan, count for special teams, or is it count as a rushing touchdown for Albert Wilson, or both?
Yeah, people did not get credit for that. It counted as a touchdown for Albert Wilson offensively, and people did not get credit for it. I assumed that it went into the books as a special teams touchdown, but it did not. So that was surprising. I mean, that's a big swing in fantasy. We saw these teams match up once in earlier this season. I believe it was week 6. The Chiefs went to the Black Hole, and they imposed their will. They controlled the clock for almost 40 minutes. And I wouldn't anticipate their game plan being any different. The Chiefs running game hasn't been quite as great recently as it was early in the year, but with the temperature expected to be below 20 degrees, you know, facing a team coming from California to Arrowhead, you can run on them. I mean, Jonathan Stewart did pretty well against them a couple weeks ago. Lamar Miller in Mexico City had some success against them last week. LeSean McCoy and Mike Gillisley gashed them on the ground at home. I think that this game sets up pretty well for Spencer Ware. We are going to be getting back Jeremy Maclin, and it just kind of remains to be seen how that is going to impact Tyreek Hill's playing time. Tyreek Hill's playing time was actually down last week, even with Maclin out for an additional week. I mean, but with that said, I'm not sure that we should overrate the return of Maclin as it pertains to a guy like Travis Kelce, because Jeremy Maclin is coming off of a month-long groin injury where, and, you know, playing in this sub 20 degree weather, we just have no idea what to expect from Jeremy Maclin. So I'm not sure that I think it's worth discussing, like, going forward, you know, could his return impact the usage of some of the other players in the Chiefs passing game. But just for week 14, Thursday Night Football, I'm not going to factor it in too much. Travis Kelce has 100 yards in three of the four games missed by Jeremy Maclin, and over 100 yards in four of his last six games, which is really incredible production for a tight end. You don't see that very often.
What about for the Raiders in this matchup?
So you can get yards against the Chiefs. You can score points against them. Their defense is great because they make a lot of plays. You know, Eric Berry and Marcus Peters, I mean, these guys are big-time playmakers. And their pass rush is great. But the Raiders also have a great offensive line. I mean, we haven't really seen Derek Carr roughed up in any games. I mean, his pocket is always clean. So I think that this game sets up pretty well for him in fantasy on paper, because seven of the last nine quarterbacks to have faced the Chiefs have posted top 12 fantasy quarterback stats. And anytime that you can get, especially with no teams on bye, anytime you can get a top 12 quarterback performance out of your guy, that's good news. So I think that Derek Carr has a good matchup. There are exterior elements, though, that should concern you a little bit, like the fact that the Chiefs could potentially control the ball, because when these teams met in week earlier this season, Derek Carr was not good in fantasy that week because the Raiders simply did not have the ball. And then the weather, and then simply playing at Arrowhead. You know, quarterbacks have been able to produce against the Chiefs, but I think this is a little bit of a tough spot if we're looking at factors other than the matchup. Amari Cooper went off against the Chiefs when these teams met earlier in the year, 10 for 129. He got most of his routes against the cornerbacks other than Marcus Peters, and I would expect that to remain the case this week. Michael Crabtree had only 2 for 10 in that game, and you know, it's a little bit concerning for him because he's going to get most of his routes against Peters. Latavius Murray has taken over as the Raiders' workhorse back, has set season highs in playing time percentage in each of the past two games, 66% and 70%. You know, as long as the Raiders have the football in this game, Latavius Murray has a good shot at 20-plus touches. And he has 11 rushing touchdowns in 10 games this year.
Nice. Let's move on and go to Pittsburgh and Buffalo. You know, the Steelers offense, man, Le'Veon Bell is fun to watch. What's the one thing? I mean, obviously Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell. Talk to me maybe, I guess, about Lardarius Green in this matchup, Evan. That might be the one interesting thing to comment or note on.
Oh, maybe you guess. Hey, Lardarius Green, he's ready. You know, he's ready. We talked about him maybe as a breakout last week against the Giants. He did. And, I mean, I think that we're using him the rest of the way in fantasy. You know, he's not a sure thing, but, you know, based on his track record, but he's a guy that he has incredible athleticism. He's 6'6", 240 with over 34-inch arms, which or 34.5-inch arms, which is like a left tackle. He's got huge hands. The knock on him in San Diego, and I've talked to some beat writers in San Diego about this, and one of the reasons that they let him leave was they thought that he was a little bit too much of a finesse tight end, He was not real assertive, not really a winner of contested catches. And they didn't want to, you know, give him a lot of money. And the Chargers got a good rookie tight end in Hunter Henry. But I think that going into the week, each week, the rest of the way, Ladarius Green will be ranked as a top 10 tight end. And he will give you number one overall tight end upside in all of those weeks. I mean, he's going to be really, really tough to defend. When defenses have to account for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, Ladarius Green is going to have some incredible matchups. And last week, he only played 48% of the snaps for the Steelers, but he led them in targets. We talked last week about how he's running a route on almost every play. They're not even really using him as a tight end. He is a receiving weapon and a mismatch creator, and that's what he's going to be in this offense. And, you know, I'll be interested to see how Rex Ryan defends him, because he's got a lot to worry about with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon already.
What about for the Bills on offense? They did run it against Oakland. You mentioned that Steelers defense has gotten better, but people have been able to run on them. And there's all kinds of consternation in Buffalo right now about Tyrod Taylor and how he played the last three quarters or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this game has some high scoring possibility. The total is 47, which is, I think, the fourth highest of the week. So that's something that you can look to with Tyrod. Tyrod, his receiver core is so depleted at this point, and Robert Woods is not expected back until week 15. They are so reliant on Sammy Watkins, who is still not a full-time player. You know, Tyrod Taylor, really, to be good in fantasy, he's got to run for yards and run for a touchdown, and that's not easy to do. Especially, you know, he's going to get like 6 to 8 rushing attempts, probably 5 to 8 rushing attempts. You know, you got to score on one of those. That's low probability stuff. Even though Tyrod has been able to score a good amount of rushing TDs this year, it's still, you know, it's limited opportunities. He's got under 200 passing yards in 4 of his last 5 games. And the Steelers' defense has gotten better over the course of the year. Since their bye, they've been blitzing a lot, and they've been getting home. I mean, I think they'll be able to get some pressure on Tyrod. They've given up the fourth fewest rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. They have given up a lot of wide receiver production recently, though. Dez had a big game against them. Dante Moncrief with Scott Tolzien at quarterback had a big game against them, or a solid game against them. Odell Beckham had 10 for 100 last week. I think that Sammy Watkins is a pretty good start in this game. And LeSean McCoy, he's always good to go. He has been matchup proof. He ran all over the Cardinals. He ran all over the Rams. He ran all over the Patriots. He ran all over the Seahawks in Seattle. So the matchup doesn't even really matter for LeSean McCoy.
I like it. He has been unbelievably consistent. He and David Johnson. Let's go to San Diego against Carolina. Carolina did get a bomb against Seattle, but that was about it. What's noteworthy about the Panthers on offense at home against the Chargers?
The struggles of Kelvin Benjamin. You know, Ron Rivera kind of admitting that maybe they put too much on his plate coming back from the ACL surgery. Ted Ginn is playing more snaps than Kelvin Benjamin at this point. And I think that we're going to see probably Kelvin Benjamin match up with Casey Hayward this week. Casey Hayward gave Mike Evans a heck of a time last week, to the point where the Bucs on some snaps were moving Mike Evans into the slot to try to get him away from Casey Hayward. So I think that Casey Hayward probably wins that matchup. And I'm not saying that Casey Hayward is Deion or anything like that, but based on the way that Kelvin Benjamin, he's kind of been on a downward trajectory ever since that Chiefs game where he had 7 for 84. And, you know, his playing time is down and he's really just, he's out there not winning. And Casey Hayward is playing really well. So I think that Casey Hayward wins that matchup. I think Ted Ginn at this point is the best option, the best fantasy option among the Panthers receivers. He's averaging 7 targets per game over his last 6. He's caught a long touchdown in 3 straight games. Assuming Casey Hayward runs after Kelvin Benjamin, I think he probably will. Ted Ginn should get opportunities against the undrafted rookie out of Penn State, Trevor Williams, who, you know, the Chargers would ideally not be playing right now, but injuries have forced them to do that. Olsen has been really disappointing, you know, along with the rest of the Panthers offense. This is a game, though, that has a chance to be pretty high scoring. It's got the second highest total on the week. The Saints-Buccaneers game has the highest total, and this game has the second highest total. So I think that in season-long leagues, you know, that's something that you can help you, you know, have some confidence in these guys as plays, even though they have really struggled lately. And that, I think that goes for Cam Olsen and Jonathan Stewart.
What do we need to know, Evan, about the Chargers on offense against the Panthers D that Russell Wilson and the boys torched Sunday night?
Yeah, so the target numbers weren't big for Tyrell Williams and the Chargers receivers last week, the Chargers pass catchers. But that had mostly to do with the fact that Phillip Rivers only had 26 attempts. The Buccaneers controlled the ball in San Diego. The Chargers' most effective means of generating offense was running the ball with Melvin Gordon against the Bucs. And, you know, it's just Phillip Rivers had, I think, 15 completions. So when that happens, the production is going to be down for the pass catchers, obviously. This is a great spot for Tyrell Williams. He played, I think, over 90% of the snaps last week, despite that shoulder injury that kept him out of practice for a lot of the week. So he should be good to go. Travis Benjamin drops an 80-yard touchdown bomb last week that would have been a game changer. I mean, I think if he catches that, they win that game maybe by 2 scores. But that's not how the game played out. And Travis Benjamin, I mean, you know, you could kind of see him maybe slipping into the doghouse after that. He has not been a big part of their offense since he came back from the PCL injury. Dontrell Inman he had 2 big early catches last week, 1 for a touchdown on a play where Altron Werner kind of slipped and fell. But, you know, if I'm choosing between those 2 receivers at this point, I'm probably going with Dontrell Inman over Travis Benjamin. Hunter Henry ran 9 pass routes in week 12, and he ran 7 last week. He's not a fantasy option. Antonio Gates is the Chargers receiving tight end. He needs a touchdown to help you, but he's never a bad bet for one. Did not happen last week. For Melvin Gordon, I think that, you know, the Panthers have played good run defense over the course of the year, but man, they got moved last week by Seattle, and Thomas Rawls had some big alleys. I did not expect that whatsoever. I know the game was in Seattle, and the Seahawks have a big edge usually in those games, but I mean that was surprising. We'll see if we get Luke Kuechly back. The Panthers are really banged up. They've been missing Mario Addison, their sack leader. They were without Kurt Coleman, their free safety last week with a concussion. They lost Daryl Worley, their rookie right cornerback, to a concussion last week. And of course, they've been without Luke Kuechly, and they lost Charles Johnson, the other defensive end, to a hamstring last week.
Let's keep it moving and go to the next game, which is the Bengals in Cleveland to take on RG3, we presume, recording this on Wednesday, and the Cleveland Browns. RG3, quarterback streamer?
No, thank you. You know, it's tough with assessing these kinds of situations. I play the Bengals defense. Terrell Pryor, you know, you hope that RG3 can hit him for a bomb. And I think that's really it.
Got it. What about for the Bengals? They heated the Eagles up a little bit on Sunday. Who's this core guy I never even heard of?
Yeah, he made a couple of plays. He played at Ole Miss opposite Laquon Treadwell. He's been more productive than Laquon Treadwell so far as a rookie. They're looking for another outside receiver without AJ Green, because they have LaFell, and then they have Tyler Boyd, who he's a slot. And so they've been using James Wright, who's usually a special teamer, and then Cody Core got some snaps last week. So this is I don't know. I mean, I think that this is a good game for Dalton. I think it's a good game for Eifert. I think that LaFell, you know, he's never someone that you want to trust, but he's in the mix this week as a fantasy start. The matchup is good. He's been getting a lot of targets. He's coming off a big game against Philadelphia. He's in the mix. You know, he's a guy that we're considering. Jeremy Hill has been atrocious the past two games in terms of his rushing efficiency, but the workloads have been there. I mean, he had 25 touches last week, and you can definitely run on the Browns. So even though he's been terrible, he's got the workload, he's got the matchup, he's got the scoring chances. He scored a touchdown last week. He's been used in the passing game. He only had two catches last week, but, you know, just kind of how that game went. Rex Burkhead had 12 touches last week, too. I mean, he's becoming more of a factor in their offense. But Jeremy Hill, I think, is a guy that, even though he's been bad, we can definitely use him against the Browns.
Chicago is in Detroit. And Chicago got a win, and they've put up some numbers. Now they're in Detroit against a defense that really stifled Drew Brees and the boys down in New Orleans. Jordan Howard, yay or nay in Detroit?
Yay. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to blow it up, you know. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking for a few weeks now how the Lions have gotten healthy, and their style of play is conducive to limiting their opponent's scoring. Now, I mean, I thought that Drew Brees was the best play in fantasy last week, and I used him in daily fantasy, but we have to respect the Lions for sure. They were able to control the ball for almost 40 minutes at the Superdome. Their defense has gotten healthy. And, I mean, their personnel is not bad. So, and the only guy I think you can look at for they played really good run defense, too, recently. I mean, they were really good at run defense last year with pretty much the same personnel in their front seven. So, you know, now that all those guys are healthy and playing, they should be a good run defense. I think that with Jordan Howard, though, he's been good in tough matchups. He's been good despite really bad circumstances. and you know, he probably has a floor of like 17 touches. And if the Bears can keep this game close, I mean, you know, he could push for 30, you know, so those guys are tough to bench in season long. It seems like it's going to be a different guy every week at this point with Barkley in his pass catcher core. I would have a problem trying to trust any of these guys. You know, in the first game, it was Marcus Wilson. In the second game, it was Josh Bellamy. You know, this week it could be Cameron Meredith. Who knows?
What about for Detroit? Matthew Stafford and the guys going against Chicago's defense at home.
I think it affects things if Marvin Jones is out again. So that's something that we got to keep an eye on. Golden Tate went off. Golden Tate now on pace for 90 catches. He had a horrible, horrible start to the year. Very, very troubling. But he's an every week starter in fantasy at this point. You know, Eric Ebron is kind of back to being up and down. His matchup is good against, you know, the Bears, who are missing both of their inside linebackers. Both of those inside linebackers were every down players, you know, didn't come off the field, and passing downs were critical in tight end coverage. But Eric Ebron has had great matchups, or good, you know, above average to great matchups the last 2 weeks, and didn't really capitalize. So, you know, he's an inconsistent player who's going to have inconsistent fantasy results. Dwayne Washington got hurt last week. The Lions tried to make Dwayne Washington a big part of their game plan last week against the Saints, and he got hurt again. I believe it was an ankle injury. And the Lions signed Juwik Bell, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a bad sign for Dwayne Washington. I think Theo Riddick goes back to getting a lot of work this week. And, you know, in PPR leagues, he's always a good start.
Let's move on. Houston is in Indy. We saw Indy light up the Jets. Dwayne Allen, tight end streamer this week.
Dwayne Allen has been horrible in fantasy all year. The Texans have been really good against tight ends all year. Dwayne Allen actually played fewer snaps last week than Jack Doyle. They saw the same number of targets. It just happened to be, you know, Dwayne Allen scores 3 TDs. So, I mean, I'm not going to say there are bad, you know, that he's a bad play, because Dwayne Allen, when he's healthy and when Andrew Luck is healthy, Dwayne Allen is always going to be a factor in the red zone and not a bad bet to score a touchdown. So I think he's just in that crowd of tight ends that are like touchdown or bust, you know, because they're not going to get you a lot of yards. They're not going to have 9 target games. You know, I think that Antonio Gates is kind of in that crowd right now. Cameron Brate has kind of elevated himself toward the top of that crowd right now. Jermaine Gresham is kind of in that crowd. And, you know, I think that's the group of tight ends that Dwayne Allen is in right now. I mean, it's great to have a guy score 3 TDs. I think this is a T.Y. Hilton game. I think that he really rips it up. Andrew Luck, I think, could rip it up too.
Jonathan Joseph, by the way. 2 cracked ribs and a lung.
That's big. That is big for T.Y. Hilton. The Texans have given up multiple touchdown passes. I mean, they're fading on defense, and Jadeveon Clowney has been injured as well. They've given up multiple touchdown passes now in 5 straight games. I think this is a good game for Luck. Love T.Y. Hilton this week.
What about the Texans offensively? Bob McNair, the owner, says that Osweiler played well against the Packers. So make sure you note that.
he did get the garbage time touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. Brock Osweiler, number 8 overall fantasy quarterback last week. So awesome, awesome. I mean, he had his highest yardage total of the season against the Colts earlier this year in that game. I think it was a Sunday nighter at Reliance Stadium. He threw for 269 yards. So that's his best total of the year. So he's not going to get you – geez, I'm not going to talk about Brock Osweiler as a fantasy play.
No.
Lamar Miller –
what else do we need to know? Yeah.
Lamar Miller is the guy that we need to talk about because this guy is all sorts of banged up. I mean, he has dealt with shoulder, ankle, rib. He's got a bunch of injuries right now, and he was super ineffective last week. Missed a bunch of time, did come back, but then Alfred Blue played late in the game and had, and I mean, he gave some, you know, the Texans some of their best runs, and Jonathan Grimes gave them runs. The matchup is great for Lamar Miller, and his usage for the most part has been secure. And I mean, you know, I would be hard pressed to bench him unless I had a great alternative. In a season-long league, I just, you know, I think this season has kind of shown us that maybe Lamar Miller isn't cut out to be a 25-touch-per-game workhorse because physically he has not been able to hold up. He is not hitting long runs. I mean, he's a diminished player in the enhanced workload, and that's, you know, that's kind of a red flag.
Let's get to Minnesota, Jacksonville. Speaking of DB injuries, we were just talking about Jonathan Joseph. The Vikings, high ankle sprain for Harrison Smith. Who does that affect for the Jags? Are there fantasy-worthy options now for the Jags with the Harrison Smith injury?
No. I mean, this is a game where the Harrison Smith injury probably doesn't show up.
Evan, have you ever seen a team go from being so awesome in fantasy one year to so terrible the next? I mean, their whole team was good. Like Bortles and Allen Robinson and Hearns. Like, yeah. They were like fantasy stars last year.
Yeah, they were. It's, you know, part of it is because their defense has gotten respectable. Last year, you know, you could just walk all over their defense and then you could always count on the Jaguars racking up a ton of production in the second half. But you know, that doesn't happen this year because their defense is respectable. I mean, Gary Kubiak spoke openly, and I mean, I know that coaches are sometimes prone to hyperbole, but I mean, this was after the game. He was like, you know, we know that they have a really strong pass defense, and they do. I mean, the Jaguars have a really good pass defense there. They actually don't have a great pass rush, but they have a great secondary. They have athletic linebackers who can cover. So, you know, they don't pose a great matchup for the opposing offense either. I mean, this game has a 39-point total. We should be able to bang it out pretty quick. Stephon Diggs, you know, he is going to get at minimum 8 targets and, you know, with a chance at like 14. And that gives him a good amount of fantasy value. Adam Thielen has become a weekly factor for the Vikings, to the point where he's reliable, and I think in deeper leagues he's not a bad start. He actually led the team in receiving this past game against Dallas, and he has 50 plus yards and or a touchdown in 5 straight games. Doesn't matter whether or not Diggs has been in there. Adam Thielen is like the number 2 or 3 passing game option, and I think he's probably the number 2 this week because the Jaguars have been so good at slowing down tight ends. Kyle Rudolph, I think, is in a pretty tough spot. You know, I would rather play Ladarius Green than him for sure this week. I think I would rather play Kobe Fleener than Kyle Rudolph this week, and we can talk about that when we get to that game.
All right. Well, we can get to the next game then, because you're right about that one. Arizona in Miami. You know, speaking of things that are hard to believe, it's hard to believe to me that Arizona can be having this disappointing of a season when I can't remember a bad game for Larry Fitzgerald or David Johnson. I just combined those two guys. I mean, I feel like every week they've produced, Evan.
Yeah, pretty much. But they're all that the Cardinals have. I mean, the Cardinals have pretty much resorted to using Jermaine Gresham now as their third wheel. I mean, they try to get the ball to Michael Floyd, but you know it doesn't happen very often. Now they go to Miami, for a 1 p.m. Eastern time game, and you know I think that this is expected to be a low scoring game, 43 point total. I think that Miami gives them some problems. I think that the Dolphins, I mean, I would expect them to show up after that loss against Baltimore. You know, they're still a team that is very much in the mix. I mean, they're a very respectable team. They should be able to get some pass rush on Carson Palmer, I think. I think that this is a trap game for Carson Palmer. I thought that Eli was a trap last week against Pittsburgh, and I think that this is a trap spot for Carson Palmer. I really, you know, I think people are going to look at, oh, Joe Flacco had that big game against the Dolphins last week. I don't think it's going to go like that, man. And I think that Carson Palmer struggles here. I think that David Johnson, you know, is obviously a monster, and Kenneth Dixon and Terrence West and then Carlos Hyde the week before that. And Sean Drone. I mean, they've been just, you know, they've been, these running backs have been running all over the Dolphins, and they've been catching a ton of passes against the Dolphins too. The Dolphins linebacker Jelani Jenkins has the worst pass coverage grade among all linebackers at Pro Football Focus, and it looks like the Dolphins may be without Kiko Alonso due to thumb surgery. The beat writers there seemed pessimistic, at least early in the week, that Kiko Alonso will play. So David Johnson has a great, great matchup, and he's a great player. And, you know, you can always count on him to get a million touches. He leads the team. He has more targets than Larry Fitzgerald since their bye week. So, you know, they know how good he is too, for sure. I think that Jermaine Gresham, like I mentioned before, you know, we can look at what Dennis Pitta did against the Dolphins and feel some optimism about him. Jermaine Gresham has been he's going to be on the field. He's playing almost every snap in the Cardinals offense and running a ton of pass routes. And he's going to get like 5 to 7 targets probably. He's not going to be a great start if he doesn't score a touchdown. But, I mean, he's someone that I think that you can feel okay about if you need tight end help.
What about on the other side for the Dolphins offensively?
Yeah, I think this is a sneaky big game for Jay Ajayi. Getting back Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Albert, you know, the Dolphins just could not run on the 49ers in week 12 without those guys. And then they get him back. I mean, they had some rushing success against Baltimore. So I think that's pretty impressive. Now they're going to be back home. The Redskins were able to – they ran – when they were able to run, they ran pretty successfully on the Cardinals out in Arizona. And now the Dolphins are getting the Cardinals at home. And we saw Jay Ajayi more involved in the passing game last week. Got 7 targets. It was a career high. I like to see that sort of thing. And then he's got 19 or more touches in 7 straight games. So I think I think Jay Ajayi is an interesting tournament play in daily fantasy this week. I don't think anybody is going to use him. And in season long, I'd feel real good about Jay Ajayi this week. The concerns are in the passing game. I hope we get some news about who maybe Patrick Peterson is going to be assigned to. Will it be Devontae Parker or will it be Jarvis Landry? I think that Devontae Parker is dangerous enough at this point that I think that it will be Jarvis Landry, and the Cardinals will feel good about their matchups, whether it be Tyrann Mathieu or Tyvon Branch. Tyvon Branch is really good, by the way, as a slot defender. I think that the Cardinals will feel good about their matchups on the interior against Landry and use Peterson against Devontae Parker, and that will make it tough, I think, for the Cardinal or for the Dolphins passing game.
Got it. All right. The next game is Redskins and the Eagles. Andy Dalton and the Bengals lit up the Eagles, whose defense is really struggling. What does that mean for the Redskins offensively?
I think that the Redskins should be able to light them up. I think the Eagles are just not very good right now. I mean, their running game isn't very good. Their defense has given up. They've given up 26 or more points in five of their last six games. Their quarterback play is descending. They don't have any help for their rookie quarterback either. So the Redskins are a better team than them. I think that this could be a Deshaun game, Deshaun Jackson. I don't know about Jordan Reed. You know, we will see. The Eagles have been good against tight ends this year, but I really wouldn't be afraid to use Vernon Davis against the Eagles despite that. If Jordan Reed is out, Vernon Davis last week had 5 for 47 against the Cardinals, which is a big production against the Cardinals, who haven't given up anything to tight ends. They got tackled at the 1 yard line. So he was a yard away from 5 for 48 and a touchdown. And that's a top five tight end score on the week last week. And then he already matched up with the Eagles once when Jordan Reed was out earlier this year, and he had 2 for 50 and a touchdown. I think that Jordan Reed's presence on the field kind of impacts a lot, and we're going to see about that. I think that Rob Kelly, this is a bounce back game, I think, for Rob Kelly. The Redskins have talked about getting him the ball more. I believe that they're truly intent on doing that. And I think that this game should allow for them to do that, because, the Eagles are not going to go light up the Redskins. The Eagles are not that kind of offense. The Cardinals were able to kind of, control the ball last week, and that cut into the Redskins' rushing opportunities. And then the week before that, they fell behind against Dallas, and it wasn't going to happen in a game like that for Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly's issue is that when he needs the Redskins to be out in front, because when they fall behind, they put in Chris Thompson, because Rob Kelly can't catch, because Rob Kelly has 4 drop passes on 9 targets this week or this season. So, that's the issue, and that's the risk that you run into with Rob Kelly. But I think that this game should be different.
How about the Eagles offensively? Talk to me, I guess, about maybe Paul Turner as a guy that finally got some run and put up some numbers for the Eagles on Sunday against the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, him being out there and him getting usage is dependent upon Jordan Matthews not playing. So, Paul Turner is a slot receiver, just like Jordan Matthews. So, I love Paul Turner. He stood out in the preseason. I think he's a good little receiver. But I think that if Jordan Matthews comes back, Paul Turner's opportunities go way down. So we'll have to see about the health of Jordan Matthews. It certainly affects Zach Ertz. It sounds like Ryan Matthews is on his way back this week. We saw the drill with Ryan Matthews early in the year. He can be effective when the Eagles feed him, but the Eagles, they didn't like to feed him early in the season. This is not a great offense for fantasy at all. with the sometimes exception of Zach Ertz and the sometimes exception of Jordan Matthews when he's healthy.
Okay. Yeah, they are struggling. What about Denver and Tennessee? The last game we're breaking down here in part one. Titans coming off of a bye. Denver, Simeon's expected to be the quarterback, but he's coming off that injury.
Yeah, I hope he's the quarterback because it's been rough now, two games for Paxton Lynch. I thought Paxton Lynch would be better than that last week. I mean, that was really bad. That game had some of the worst quarterback play, Denver against Jacksonville. It was atrocious. So if you had Demaryius last week, you know, you should feel lucky that he came out of that with six catches for 61. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he kind of got screwed. But, I mean, you know, we need Trevor Siemian back. We definitely do. The matchup is great, I think, for the Broncos receivers. The Titans get crushed by the pass, you know, pretty much every single week. I mean, some weaker quarterbacks have had big games against them. And, you know, we need Trevor Siemian back.
What about the Titans offensively?
Oh, I should mention that the Broncos claimed Justin Forsett off waivers.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I would not be surprised if he's in there for 20 snaps and this week and, you know, he's getting touches right away. The Broncos running game is a disaster. They're going to try whatever they can. You know, we've seen Gary Kubiak go through things like this before. Gary Kubiak coached under Mike Shanahan. He used to do this. When your running game is struggling, you know, you're going to try to do different things to spark it. And I think that last week, you know, they gave Capri Bibbs a bunch of early game carries. He ripped off a bunch of long runs. And then he suffered a year-ending high ankle sprain. And I think that Justin Forsett, being so familiar with the offense, he gets work right away. Devontae Booker, 2.8 yards per carry last five games. You know, that's not going to get it done. I don't know, maybe Justin Forsett, his presence lights a fire under Devontae Booker or something like that. I think Justin Forsett plays right away.
What about Titans coming off the bye against Denver's D? What do we need to know?
Yeah, I think that this is a Delanie Walker sort of game. Last two games against the Broncos, the tight end has been the leader in receiving. In week 12, that was Travis Kelce in that Sunday night game. And then last week, it was Neil Sterling, someone named Neil Sterling. No, I'm just kidding. He broke all of Miles Austin's records at Monmouth. He's a converted wide receiver. But Neil Sterling, 5 for 48. I think this is a Delanie game. You know, never want to start wide receivers. I don't care how good they are against the Broncos. And then, you know, it's tough with Mariota. Like, I own him in two leagues. And this week, I think I'm going to start Andy Dalton at Cleveland over him in one. And then in the other one, it's between Marcus Mariota at home against Denver and Matthew Stafford at home against the Bears. You know, so we'll see how it goes. I think I'm going to probably start Mariota over Stafford. But it's real close. And I don't know. Well, that'll go down to the wire. But I think right now I like Dalton at Cleveland better than Mariota. And, you know, these are the kind of decisions that we have to make.
Awesome stuff as always, Evan. That'll wrap up part number one. And you guys can take some of that part one knowledge with you over to DraftKings.com. The destination for 1 week fantasy football. No season-long commitments. You know the deal. A lot of you play daily. We love it. If you've played daily and you haven't taken advantage of our free entry yet, why not? Just go to DraftKings.com now, use the code FEAST, and you can play for free with your first deposit. Again, the code is FEAST to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Now, eligibility restrictions may apply, so see the website for details. But as I always say, even if you guys just play the 50-50 contest, you can't tell me you guys aren't in the top half of all entries. And if you are, you will win some legit cashola. Speaking of cashola, Evan, part two is going to be money. I'm already fired up for it. We'll also get your thoughts on some good streamers for the week as well in part two, which we are going to record momentarily. And then, of course, everybody is going to be able to listen to it when it posts shortly after midnight. So we don't mess with your beloved podcast apps. That'll do it. Again, we are presented by FanVice.com, the home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches segment that will be on FanVice.com every week this NFL season. And make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.